Truth. I'm your host, Paul. And today we have a special edition with Ole Damegaard in what I call my little situation room with hot topics. Ole, are you there?
I sure am.
Well, thanks so much for coming. Today you're not far from where the Bilderbergs are meeting, right?
No, that's true. I flew in from Spain a few days ago just for this event. And now I'm just outside Copenhagen. I'm going into to the place in just as soon as we finish here.
Well, before we start, I did want to mention that you, your website and then your books. What is it? Coup d'état in slow motion. Quite interesting.
That is true. My website is Light on Conspiracies. I'm a researcher and a former journalist, author that have been doing this for about 30 years of my life. So, well, it's been a long, long row, and it's quite exciting to be here now because there's this amazing change and upwakening going on at the moment.
Yes, it's an amazing time. Well, okay, getting back to these, what shall we say, the usual suspects is a word we sometimes say, right?
That would be a good term to use, I would say.
So what have they been up to lately? I guess they're planning wars.
I mean,
what do you see? What is the rumor mill saying? What are the documents? What are the guests? What do you see?
What I see is that I think they're getting very, very desperate because they have been able to sort of be like a secret world government, but only due to the fact that they've been hiding in the dark that we haven't been able to see them. And now by exposing them more and more, every year it's just get more and more exposed, it's harder and harder for them to get away with it because the spotlight is right on them. And last year was the first time they officially more or less did not deny anymore that this group existed at all. I mean, they've been going since 54. But last year in Watford, that was the first time when they really could not hide it anymore and went open with it. And this year, I mean, they even went out in the press giving the list of all the members and who's going to attend the meeting, where it's going to be, and so on. So big change.
Well, I have a question. You were concerned that this year they seem to be meeting in a less than first class hotel.
You know,
what is changing? Something seems to be changing about them. What is the feeling on the ground?
I came here the evening before they were supposed to start. And one thing that has concerned me from day one when it came to this location is that it's very, very different to where they normally are. Normally they are in a hotel, high security location that is most of the time easy to secure, all parameters. You know, you send in like police, specialists, security forces, all of these. At least a week ahead or something. The hotel is often owned by them, one of the members in the group. It's can be secluded, but once again, security and to keep the rest of us out has been a major thing for them. And this year, suddenly they choose a hotel that does not fit in at all. It's a hotel in central Copenhagen, where when you look at it from their point of view, if they're concerned about security, it absolutely sucks. There's one of the main streets going right out in front of it. On the back of the hotel is just an open, big water space, very, very hard to secure. I mean, the big high-rising buildings surrounding it with lots of open windows where you could have attacks from, I mean, an absolute nightmare to secure, I would say. So when I came in the evening, I came straight from the airport, went out to the hotel, and I was, you know, expecting to see the normal thing from these meetings, that you got security personnel everywhere, police, cars, that the entry, exits, road has been already secured, and helicopters, these type of things. This year, there were two policemen, normal policemen, standing, picking their nose, nothing, absolute zero. So I mean, I could even walk up to the hotel, look in through the windows, no security whatsoever. Instead, they were starting to build like a small concrete wall around the hotel and put up barriers and so on. And I just got a very, very eerie feeling because also in front of the entrance, there were three black limos, polished, identical, right in front of the entrance. No people, no nothing. So I just felt this is so, so weird because, I mean, we're talking, the people we're talking about are not stupid in a way. Many of them are highly intelligent and also they use the top of the line when it comes to security. So I just felt this is so odd. So I started walking around, checking out different things and almost got arrested just for walking on the pavement. Absolute joke. And then when I started coming from my background where I've studied assassinations, false flag operations, so-called terror acts for these 3 decades, my eyes saw something totally different. I saw if it's not a place for them to meet security-wise, then they would use this as a decoy to gather the truth movement in one place, just like they did in Watford last year. Fenced in all of that, and then they would meet in their privacy somewhere else. They would send in some limos with tinted windows with some doubles or whatever, just so that we would actually think that yeah, they're in there, and they would have lunch, discuss, do whatever they do, laugh at us and get away with it. But that is one possibility. But I got an even worse feeling when I started looking around, because this would be a perfect spot for a false flag operation, blaming the truth movement, demonizing the truth movement, and thus make it giving them a reason to totally ban and forbid all possibilities to protest, to demonstrate, to do all of these things. So I thought if that would be the thing, if that would they would like to try, would this be a good location for it? It ticked all boxes, I tell you. So when you look around the area where the so-called truth movement were supposed to be, it is surrounded by buildings, banking buildings, secure insurance companies, and the headquarters of the police. All of the other buildings are owned by members in the elite, including the hotel. So what would be an option if you wanted to demonize the truth movement and create a so-called false flag operation? The thing was, if you had a TV crew or a film crew down the road with wide angle covering, so you had both the front of the hotel and the truth movement opposite each other, you could get that in a really good angle. They were waiting for 2,000-3,000 people to arrive on Saturday. That would be the high light of the event. That would be when most people were gathered there. You secure the whole thing around it so that the people cannot get out either. This crowd is normally very quiet and calm. I mean, normal, nice people who just want a better future and for this group to stop messing us around. So if this would be a false flag, I would suggest that what they would do is one team, or they could have several film teams surrounding the whole place, aerial photo from above. And then you send in a few provocateurs. You only need a handful to get in there. Start stirring the energy. Start shouting. Start throwing things. If that didn't work, then they would make a fake arrest. Police officers or people in police uniforms would make an arrest of someone innocent who most likely would be part of the provocateurs as well. Start dragging this person away, pushing them into police cars and so on, which would stir up the energy in the crowd saying, oh my God, this is so not right, you know, stop him, get the energy going. And then once that's done, boom, you have a bomb placed inside the hotel where that is absolutely empty except for security personnel, cleaning personnel, kitchen personnel, and so on. Boom! The whole front of their building, like they did in Oslo, Oklahoma City, and that just blown out. You would have in the coverage, you would have blown up bodies and people in the truth movement, the whole smoke and explosions and so on. And also what they had placed out there one morning when the next morning I came there was a massive big pentagram on the grounds where the truth movement was supposed to be. Massive big made out of the train, sleepers, these wooden thing that goes on a train track. Massive big pentagram. So if that had been aerial footage, you can imagine what it would have looked like. You film it from above. You have this whole crowd going absolutely mad. Boom, here comes the explosion, smoke, all of these things. And in the middle, you have this massive pentagram. So for them to say, oh, my God, this truth movement that are so peaceful, look what they did. They butchered these poor people in the elite. We have to stop them. We have to stop them. And the way to stop them is to ban all liberties to speak out, to demonstrate, to protest and so on. This is what they're doing in different countries. I mean, it used to be countries like Iran and so on. Now in Spain, where I live, they're trying to push forward suggestions that you're not allowed to protest or demonstrate and so on. So when I saw these things and this a possible setup, I felt, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I contacted Chip Tatum. He's a former CIA operative, deep cover of 25. He's a former black op assassin, a night stalker, a pilot, and also one of the commanders for George Bush Senior's private hit team Pegasus. He was part of many operations, and he was also part of some false flag operations. He's now turned a whistleblower since the late 1990s. Anyway, so I contacted him. I said, Chip, listen, this is the way it looks here. He said, whoop, whoop, whoop. There's something very, very wrong going on here. So he said, go for your gut feeling. So I sat here, my God, what am I going to do? I don't want to spread fear or any like this, but I can't live with myself either if what I suspect could be true. I also checked with another American Marine officer that has also been or has great knowledge of these type of things. And he confirmed this as well. So what I did was I spent half the night just sitting, pumping out to about 30 international radio stations, just making them say, this is the date, this is the time, this is what we say. If this awful thing should happen, please be aware of that this has been recorded before. It is not the truth movement. It is an inside job trying to squash liberties and freedom for normal people. So, and thank God nothing has happened. Instead, not a lot of people have arrived, which indirectly is a blessing, because it's only when they get a massive big crowd that they can get the whole drama that is needed, film wise and so on, that is needed. You can't stir up a crowd of 13 people, and get anything that looks impressive. So
okay, then what I mean from that, okay, but what else are we looking at? I mean, what about the guests? Do you think the real people came? I mean, is Henry Kissinger there? I've seen pictures of people like Breedlove.
I tell you, what happened was that the day after I went out there, I'm not polishing my glory or my halo in any way. I'm just saying this, describing the setup. The day after this went out on air, there were like very few limos coming. Normally they come like joom, 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 like this. I saw like maybe five or six, and the people coming out, I did not recognize a single person. Then the day after when it was almost like there was a change of plan, suddenly there was a military vessel on the back behind the hotel with NATO troops. There were loads of police vehicles. There were helicopters in the air, just the way it's supposed to be. And that's when these photos were taken. So I think there's some rumors saying that they met out in a castle in a place called Cockadale which is a bit outside Copenhagen. But I think that maybe there was a change of plans and that they moved in to the right hotel. And that's where when these photos are taken. I do not think that any of these photos were taken on day one early, maybe in the evening or the following day.
Hmm. Well, anyway, it sounds like the whole atmosphere was strange. I mean, just the chemistry. What about people coming who are not guests? I mean, protesters or media people. How does it compare to the last few years?
As usual, very little people, but very interesting people, most of them. I mean, there are, of course, as always, some nutcases or very strange people coming, but that's always the case when it's a matter of gathering groups when it comes to conspiracies and revealing them. Some infiltrators, some are just attracted to this type of thing. But many key people internationally was here, is here still. And so it's been absolutely amazing. I'm very, very happy to have been here and meet these people. And there's been, I wouldn't say lots of media coverage, but I've been giving interviews nonstop since I came. And I'm not the only one. I mean, Luke Rudowski, you got, what's his name, Dix from Canada. You got...
Daniel S. Julin came, I think.
No, he did not. At least I haven't seen him. Okay. And I spoke to him early on. He said he's in the middle of making a documentary about the Bilderberg Group, and he didn't think that he would have time. But, I mean... From earlier years, just a few years down the road, there were no media at all. And now they're from national TV, both channels were here and radio stations. I mean, it's been a lot. And also there was people from Sweden, the press in Sweden. And so.
Did you get any leaks this year? I mean, but sometimes people say, here's the agenda, you know, the general idea of what the topics will be, kind of thing. I saw something that I thought Daniel Estulin had said that he'd received, but it's about, you know, 7 or 10 points or topics that they wanted to go over.
The thing is that this normally leaked out to Jim Tucker.
Right.
For you who don't know Jim Tucker, he's one of the incredible people who have just dedicated his life. He died last year to exposing this, and it was to him that these things were leaked out, as far as I know. It always came through Jim Tucker, and he didn't even know who were delivering. At least that's what he said. But these agendas and membership lists had this magical way of just appearing in his room when he was not there and so on, from some kind of insider, some kind of contacts. But now after he died, I have not heard anyone, but I haven't really followed what is going on either. I've just been so focused on doing what I can on location.
Well, the notes that I saw that I think Daniel Estulin said that he heard talked about Russia, China, and Iran, the gas deals with Russia and China, the EU and rising nationalism, and you know, the Ukraine. but I don't know, to what extent these are true. And I mean, some of this should be obvious. If a bunch of people who run the Western world get together, these would be topics that they would likely discuss.
Yeah, these are so obvious. All the ones you said, that's a no-brainer.
Sure, but I mean, I tell you what, though. The question is, some of the websites that follow this, like, let's say, Alex Jones's websites or something, will show these pictures of people, like I mentioned, Breedlove from NATO, and Charlie Skelton's article in the, is it The Guardian? Anyway, one of the bigger British papers is talking about how... you know, a couple of CEOs are there who are involved in, you know, military, you know, aerospace stuff. And the implication I got from reading his article was along the lines that you have a kind of like a military industrial complex feeling to this meeting based on the guests that seem to be there. But I mean, we have limited numbers to go from. You know, if you only see five guys, that doesn't mean that, you know, there could be a different group of 20 who came in the back door.
But there is no back door entrance. Do you know, this is the thing, that it's not easy to get to this hotel unseen, as far as I know. And I have not seen a single person. I know people have said, yes, I saw Henry Kissinger. Yes, I saw Queen Beatrix. And this general who was out jogging, I mean, that could also have been part of, yes, we are here. So if you don't believe us here, somebody jogging out, he's jogged out, got taken photographs out, went back in. I mean, because the people, when you see, they have been very, very visual inside the hotel. They come up to the windows, they wave down to us. They've been standing, you know, with their badges around their neck and so on. I did not recognize one single person. So who's in there? I have absolutely no idea. And the agenda, I mean, that leaks out, the things that you said, they are very obvious. I would say, what are the other points, the hidden points on that agenda? These are the interesting ones. And I know for sure that the truth movement, or the whole awakening of the rest of the world, that is a major concern for this group, because this thing, how to be able to continue when the spotlight is aimed at them.
What have you been hearing from the other people who are there looking into it? I mean, if somebody says, I saw Kissinger, do you get the feeling that he's telling the truth? I mean, you know what I'm trying to say. What is the mood you're getting?
No, totally true. But then again, it's very easy with doubles. I mean, you see them in a 150 meter. You see somebody step out of a limo, walk in through a door. There's like 5 seconds. You see somebody from behind, white hair with glasses. I don't know. I can just say I personally have not seen any of them. And with these photos, fine. I don't know. I just know that normally there are like 120, 140 people in there. I would say where they should have been a long, long, long row of limos coming in. We did not see anything of that. One, then maybe one 20 minutes later, you know, yet again with somebody that I didn't recognize, that I only saw for a few minutes. And then some people or some are sort of, I mean, it's not like they're hiding the people that stepped out and were not recognized. They were standing there more or more, some of them almost showing, I'm here, have everyone seen me? And now I walk in. But I did not recognize them.
Well, I'm attracted to your idea that they might, this is sounding like a decoy. I mean, if I were advising them on security or whatever, if I'd been a member or something, I think it was in Switzerland where they kind of got embarrassed, was it, a year or two ago, where it's kind of like, anyway, their plans didn't go very well and they were getting kind of in an awkward position. And I think I would, if I were advising them, say, hey, let's never let that happen again. Let's sucker them one place and then go to a place they can't get to. A castle on an island sounds like where I would want it.
No, but the thing is that, you know, I spoke to Chip Tatum and he said, you know, many times he's flown people in, you know, to military bases. You know, they're total secured. Nobody knows. They get in a Night Stalker, you know, night vision helicopters. Nobody knows anything about what's going on. There's no possibility for people around there. There's top clearance when it comes to security. That's the place you would do it. Here, absolute joke. And I mean, like Luke Rodovsky and Dan Dix from Canada, I think it was, they got arrested the evening before. They were in the Marriott Hotel the evening before and tried to film it. And so just a few hours before them arriving, does not make sense. Does not make sense. And also Chip said that in a place like that where with an open water, I mean, it's like a canal. At least 300-400 meters wide, you would have lots of vessels, and you would have divers in the water, you know, to secure that nobody could enter that way. Absolute zero until the second day, I think. Suddenly, there was this massive military vessel with NATO troops, you know, heavily armed with all the equipment. Now, they should have been there before the members arrived. secured all the parameters, you know, bomb sniffing dogs, check out everything. That's when they should have done it. You know, there was nothing there until when I think maybe they started arriving for real. That's when they moved the security with them. And that's also when the helicopter started going around. There was one military helicopter going so low, just over the crowd and so on. Before that, the only security, they have like two, three people on the rooftop with binoculars. And the rest of the security is just circling around the few people in the truth movement. You know, so it's... But the Danish police have been absolutely beautiful to the crowd, I tell you. Very friendly, very nice, very open to discussions. They have absolutely no idea who they're protecting. Do you know, I told you I was almost arrested the first evening. And in Denmark, you normally do not get arrested just for walking down the pavement. And I was just walking together with a friend. We were looking at the hotel from different angles, and while walking, suddenly this police car pulled over, and a young police officer came out and he said, "Hi, how are you doing?" Very friendly, and he said, "Can I please see some ID?" And I said, "No. Last time I was in Denmark, this was not a police state, and you could walk freely. Do you suspect me of anything? Did I do anything?" He said, no, I would just like to your name, address, and social security number." I said, "I'm very sorry, but no." The captain that was in the police car, he came out and came forward, and he said, "Listen, this is not a game. Can I please ask you to show ID?" I said, "This is not a game for me either, and I will not show you my ID because this is not right. There's absolutely no reason for you to do anything. I was just walking down the street like anyone else." And, he insisted. It was a very calm, peaceful conversation. I mean, very nice man. I looked in his eyes, gentle eyes, not a bad cop in any way, but someone who had no idea who he was protecting. And so he said, it ended up with him saying, "But listen, you have to show that according to Danish law, paragraph 750, if there is such a paragraph, and if not, I will have to arrest you." I didn't answer that. I just stood waiting for whatever he wanted to do. He said, "Well, I will have to arrest you." I did not answer. I was just waiting to see what he would do. And then we had like an eye. We were just looking into each other's eyes, not aggressive in any way at all, but for about a couple of minutes, where he was getting insecure and not really knowing what to do. And while we were standing there, there were people from InfoWars and there were some other journalists that had noticed what was going on. So they came forward and started becoming like a small little circle around us, and people started asking, "But what did he do? Why do you want to arrest him?" And he said, "Well, he's not giving his name," and so on. And then I said, like, "There's, you know, it is quite a waste of time if you think of it," I said to this captain. "You can book me, okay? What happens? You will have to take me downtown. You will give me a cup of coffee. We will have a talk. You will say, 'Who are you?' I will say, 'I will not tell.' You will try to do that. You will put me in a cell for an hour or two. I mean, we're in Denmark. We're not in the States. I would not do this as calmly in the States, that is for sure. Then you will say, 'Well, if you don't tell me, I will fine you. Okay, I will get a fine, and then if you're a kind policeman, you will drive me back here, or I'll walk back.' Absolute waste of time." So I said, "Let's do it like this instead. You go home, and you promise me that you will look up the Bilderberg Group on the internet. Study and learn who it is that you are defending for normal people like me, like myself. I'm a taxpayer of the state of Denmark, or I used to be, and I am paying your wages to protect me from criminals like the people on the other side of the street. So do you promise to do that? then I will show you my name. And he said, okay. I said, fine. I took out, I gave him my name. I gave him a false address. I did not give him my, I don't have a Danish security number. So I said, and at that time there were people surrounding us. So he was getting a little pressed, you know, pressured. And so I said, now you promise. So are you going to do that? And he said, I'm not interested in politics. I said, it's not a matter of politics. It's a matter about criminals, real criminals. And you, as a policeman, just promised to do that. So that, it does not sound very good. Anyway, people were starting to ask a lot of questions around, and they were trying to get the names of the other people. And it was just getting, so I just turned around and walked away. And I just hope that maybe somewhere down the line that it ignited it like a spark in his, I just hope that maybe he went home that day and started looking into finding out who it is he is protecting, because that is the whole thing with all of these nice police officers. They're totally duped. They have absolutely no idea. The same, I would say, with the NATO soldiers that were there, the helicopter pilots and so, absolutely no idea who they are protecting. And if you study history and you see the power structure and the families and the funding behind the Hitler war machine, you will see that it's the exact same that is going on now, but just in a more modern form. So you could have just, instead of Henry Kissinger, you could say Adolf Hitler, you know, and Goering and Goebbels. Then, by studying history, that would freak the police out and say, oh my God, have I been part of that? But now it's so covered in this secrecy and no, it's just a think tank and there's nothing strange going on, and so the police.
Well, it's a little more sophisticated now. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
You know, there used to be dictators, more or less, and the minister of propaganda or something. You know, Goebbels or something.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's more like, you know, you don't really know who's in charge of the media.
No.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit more behind the scenes now, and then the Bilderberg are part of that. They're behind the scenes, so
for
we
sure.
Don't get an Adolf Hitler to love or hate. Right.
No, it's
the lower level politicians we get to see are hardly worthy of loving and hating. I mean, Obama and, you know, whatever. I mean, you can love him or hate him, but I mean, he's not Mussolini in the sense that, I mean, you know what I mean? It's just a different world. They're doing it differently now. That's an interesting story, by the way. I really hope that cop actually does look into it, because first, and by the way, he gave his promise. So
he did indeed. So I just hope. I mean, he was an honest, decent police officer, just not knowing what he was doing. And also during the days here, and in the speeches I've given, and other people, we had also spoken directly to the police, saying, "Listen, guys, just please inform yourself." Because you are the one that are helping to, for them to pull this whole thing out, off. If they did not have your protection, they wouldn't dare, you know, and so on. So it's very important that the police and military people starts informing themselves about what is actually going on, and that they're being super used and duped into, well, that's super
into what's
duped.
Going on. Hey, I got a different question. Is there any significance in them choosing Denmark?
I would say from a point of just meeting, no, not really. Mm-hmm. In the point of a possible false flag, yes. If you've seen, when you see the false flag operation, I mean, they used to have... the boogeyman used to be Muslims, then it went into like geeks, then it went into more northern looking people, blonde, blue eyed, and
white,
so on.
White Al Qaeda.
Yeah, white Al Qaeda, that, yeah, exactly. To get the population to fear more and more people around them, like, oh my God, it could even be my neighbor. And now the latest shooting with this guy, that he looks like he even had a portfolio as a model. And the whole, you know, the one I'm talking about, where he shot these women because he hated women, and then shot himself. I mean, come on, it's so badly done.
Well,
and now,
it looks to me that I don't know if you agree, but it looks to me like they've moved into very staged theatrical events all over the place.
Totally.
Where they're not real.
Totally.
They're not. We could spend a long time on that particular one. Green screens and made up settings and actors and actresses on TV. I mean, we could spend a lot of time, but that was particularly poorly done.
That's what I'm saying. They used to have a good budget. They used to not be under a lot of time stress. They used to have some kind of pride in what they were doing. But now it's getting to a scale that is so sloppy. I mean, they're even using the same actors in different things. You know, the same sheriff appears with his same name in three different states. You know, one at a drill, then a real thing in another state, and so on. One woman is blown up in one so-called terror attack, then suddenly she's testifying in another.
Hey,
and it's
hey,
like
Ule,
just yeah.
Ule, I read, I don't know if it's true, that this latest shooting in Santa Barbara, the exact same thing had happened, oh, I don't know, 13 years ago on the same day. A producer's son in Santa Barbara, you know, killed like two women or whatever, and it's just total BS, right?
It is, it is.
And they're just mocking people.
I think, you know, they got this crisisactors.org and other websites where you can, where they hire people to be part of these false flags. And then on the FEMA website, you can see exactly what different drills and what they need to bring for these things. They don't say it exactly that it's going to be false flag, but they call them events or drills and so on. But there was a man, Chris, I can't remember his name, from Revolution Radio. He applied for one of these roles and was actually accepted, you know, and recorded the whole thing. You can hear it on Revolution Radio, absolutely brilliant, where he's talking to this this woman who is the head of the hiring the extras and very nice person. So, and she says, yeah, but what do you think you would be good as? And she said, well, I've been, you know, I have a university degree. I have a beard. So maybe like a headmaster. Yeah, yeah, headmasters. That's good. That's good. We have some upcoming events here in Oklahoma. So would the distance be a problem? He said, no, no. So yeah, great. Let me just talk to the producer. And you can hear her talk with someone. And she comes back and yeah, for sure. We're interested. So could you please get back to us? Maybe we can set a date that you can come here and do a test shoot and so on. Do you know? It's like unreal, unreal.
Yeah, well, again, the staged events are getting pretty ridiculous and over the top.
Yeah.
Seriously, they're so unreal. This particular guy in Santa Barbara, a young guy with a very rich, you know, father or whatever in a BMW, and he can't get a date. And
he looks like a model. I mean, come on.
And he looks like a model, and he also looks like a guy who's probably less interested in women. But that's to me anyway. But you know, look, I'm not trying to pick on that. I'm just saying that the whole thing looks so concocted. I just can't believe it. And anyway, that's the way it's going. But back to the Bilderberg question.
Exactly. Can I go
back to
that?
So you think they're kind of – yeah. Say anything you want.
No,
do they look like they're panicked, or what do you think?
No, you asked me why Denmark, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen it, it's gone away from, I mean, there's been so much in the States, so they're losing power of the impact, you know? They've done other countries, the Latin American countries, Southern European countries and so on. So the latest trend has been to go up and hit where it will. Once again, what they're trying to achieve is this emotional response from the public saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. So a few years ago, they had a suicide bomber in Stockholm, absolute BS. Then you had the mass shooting in Norway, so staged event with a false flag. It's just screaming all over the place with the multiple shooters, you know, blaming it on one patsy. Absolute incredible when you start looking into the details. And then Denmark stands for a symbol of very relaxed, laid-back, friendly, wonderful, calm, come here, have a beer, and let's just enjoy life country. you know. And then if a horrible, horrible thing like a false flag would happen here with a, you know, like a total massacre happen in Denmark, that will give even more emotional impact. So if that would be the scene, I would say Denmark would be a perfect place. They tried Sweden, Norway, now go for Denmark. So it would be a, if it would be in Romania, it wouldn't be the same impact, emotional as in Denmark at this stage in history. So I could see that for a reason that they chose this country.
Makes sense. I mean, the image of Scandinavia is such that it would be shocking.
Yeah.
And probably shock the people there too.
Totally.
Yeah, that makes sense. What about your thesis that they're kind of getting panicked? Anything you're seeing? I mean, it sounds like this Bilderberg meeting was done in a sloppy way.
This is the thing. It's getting sloppy. It used to be very organized, very controlled, very well planned. With all of their different actions, they used to be able to move forward, you know, like a method we call the stepping stone, you know, a little step out to the left, a little step out to the right, one in the center. So the normal people wouldn't notice what was going on, would have no idea that these different events, whatever they were connected. But now, since this incredible awakening is going on and through the internet, I mean, internet is the thing that has speeded the whole thing up, suddenly they can't get away with it anymore. And they're trying to push forward to be able to get us into their little trap before it's too late for them. So that is why I've had inside information about these false flag, and they talk about the weekly scare. You know, they need to, on a weekly basis, scare people, because that's the only way to push them down and also not let people have time enough to really look into them. So, and if you notice, it's not even like there's two in 1 week and then it's 3 weeks down the line, there's another one. It's almost identical in a static pattern. Boom, 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 scare of the week. A new shooting, and many of these lately have been inside military installations where the information coming out is totally controlled, where there's no way to, that reporters can go in there and actually confirm that people have been killed or, you know, and these where they film the shooters, you never see anyone shoot or actually any awful event. You see people running around in the corridors with guns and staged event, I tell you.
Well, again, that's what we get. I think one reason is if they use real, for example, in the United States, the number of people who carry guns is very, very large. Mm-hmm. And if they try something, it might get stopped in the middle. And I actually think that happened in near Portland, Oregon, I don't know, a year or two ago, year and a half ago or something. And, you know, it's very awkward for them to say that there was going to be this mass shooting or whatever, and an off-duty security guard stopped it, right?
I love it. I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
they're
just about ready to put on the news, you know, in the local news, right? This is a huge story. A guy in some mall pulled out a gun. He was ready to start shooting people. And then another guy just put a gun to his head and said, drop it.
I love it.
Now, this should be a huge story, right? If not nationally, at least locally.
Yeah.
Right? And it is a huge story for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it totally becomes like off the radar.
Of course.
So I think they've switched to these staged events because they can't control as well real events. That's just my opinion.
No. It has to do with total control. Control is what they need to pull them off. But also, I think that you know, the problem you have when you start killing people on a large scale is that these victims have families, and especially mothers, that are getting absolutely furious. They become like pit bull terriers, not giving up, totally focused on finding out what happened to my child. What happened to my brother? What happened to my sister? What happened, you know? And the more of these events you pull off, the more angry people are breathing down your neck. And after 9/11 and these things, they've had massive problems with that. So I think it just came to a point they said, it's not worth it. Let's keep it to a very central group that use the same people again and again, compartmentalized, but keep it to a smaller group as possible. And then let's just stage it. Then we don't have the problem with the real victims. We can control all the info coming out and in. We can control the footage. We can control the whole lot. And that is one take of it as well.
They can also control the schedule that way. They can do it like on Friday evening if that's the news cycle or whatever.
Check it out when they do it. They never do it in the middle of the night. They do it when it's prime time, or they do it, if they really need a very strong emotional impact. They will do it when people are just starting to wake up, just had their morning coffee on their way to work or something like that, not really awake, and boom, there it goes. So that people go, oh my God, that's where to hit them. And they also, the one that they love is children and women, dead children and women, not dead cows or dead people blown up in an elderly home. That wouldn't work. It's women and children is the key. Now, they love nuns as well, nuns and nurses. They're very often in these staged events, And one of the things that also when you see that they're staged events is like, I've been an extra on many film sets. So I've been sitting, I'm really good at walking in backgrounds from point A to point B. I can even chew chewing gum at the same time. So I've spent so many hours sitting being very bored, because when you do a shoot for a commercial or a film or something like that, there's so much preparation and it's so time consuming and so many retakes and so on. So instead of just wasting time, I've been very interested in how do they do it? Where do they put the lighting? Why is the camera over there? How do they do with the lenses? What is B photo? What is A photo? Do you know all of these things? Why are the cue markers there? How do they do? And once you start seeing that, and also the type of vehicles that are used, they always drive in the extras in buses. You always have trucks. For some reason, these trucks are most of the time, all the sets I've been on, they've been white trucks. And these trucks are the ones where they carry lights, makeup, dress, uniforms, whatever is needed for that event. And then in the end, you have director, or before that, the actors arrive. They arrive a lot later if there's not needed a lot of makeup to go through the whole set, the whole scene and so on. And then the last one is the director coming. He always comes in a private car or in a cab. And when you start seeing these setups, how you do these shoots, then you look at, for instance, let's take the Woolwich beheading, Do you remember that when they supposedly
yes.
chopped the head of Lee Rigby? You look at the whole thing, it's a totally controlled area. That was done in broad daylight. You see where the traffic is? The whole thing is just cut off. How is it cut off? By vehicles. What are the vehicles? Two buses, okay, that would be for the extras. One white truck is cutting off a side road. That would be where they had the light, the dress, the makeup, all of these things. And the last one that blocks off so that nobody can enter the area from the top is a cab standing right next to one of the buses. That would be the one that the director or maybe the main actors would arrive in. You need to look at it like that. You have cue markers everywhere. There's no blood. It doesn't make sense at all. It's very clumsily made.
There's plenty of fake blood.
No, there's not. On the guy, you mean?
No, not on that one. But I mean, some of these have very ridiculous blood.
I know.
Some of these staged events have tremendous blood where, it's too much, and then somewhere else it's not enough.
But
right?
Also,
or there's no obvious wound, so how did you get so much blood? That kind of. I mean, they're also doing, I think, graphical stuff with software, video.
Yeah,
stuff.
for sure. I mean, we're talking film sets. That's the thing. So, and this thing with blood, if you notice on these horrific images, the blood is always the exact same color. But if you see it at a real accident or where somebody has really been messed up, the blood, depending on from what part of the body, depending on how much oxygen is in that vein, the color differs a lot. you know. But here's the same super red color, boom, 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 everywhere. And also, you don't see, it's the same thing. It does not make sense when you come in with a totally neutral view, Farmer Brown logic.
You might
logic.
Have doubts about the Boko Haram 200 girls kidnapped and all that. It's like the next day, I think it was Dick Cheney was saying we have to, you know, go liberate the oil there or something.
I mean, come on. It's like problem, reaction, solution. I mean, it's like, oh, God, like this thing with a pentagram. They place a pentagram in the middle. I mean, and also, I'm a Scientologist, by the way. I just found out. I read the newspaper the other day. It's like, what
you
is
are.
That?
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, let's meet in Clearwater, Florida next time that you.
Yeah, I don't even know how to spell the. Is it an S and a C? I have no idea. You know, and then suddenly it's pumped out in media that I'm a Scientologist. Thank you very much. Where did that come from? And in the media as well, they said about 2,000-3,000 people are gathered in front of the hotel. We were like 34. Where did that come from? You know,
hey,
pump it up.
Ole. I just read somewhere that somebody tested it in Indian newspapers. For about $2,500, you can get a story placed in there that they'll say something's true and it never happened. And we're not talking like, you know, a private newspaper here. We're talking a major newspaper, right? So you can say that in such and such a field, such and such a, you know, balloon went off and a test was done. Never happened. Nothing happened. It's just you paid them. And
but
that's,
you know, like,
you know, the mainstream.
I live in Spain. You know, and I was born in Denmark. I come from Sweden, and we've had people sometimes call up and you say like, "Oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay?" I'm like, "What? Well, there's been an earthquake." "What? Yeah, you're right in the epicenter." "Am I? Do you know the whole thing? Where? I had not noticed anything." "Oh, there's this massive fire. Are you okay?" "What?" And when I was looking into the Palmer assassination that I did I dug into that for about 12 years of my life, really, really deeply. It even came to a point where I had two friends murdered and I had to leave Sweden because of that. So serious stuff. But when I was looking into that, I spent like thousands of hours in newspaper archives and so on. And I noticed, you know, like there's some newspaper that have different editions for different parts of the country. And in one edition, for instance, for the north of Sweden, they would say that in a city in the south of Sweden, this and this happened. Or now they started, you know, to avoid that people in the schools takes more than one portion of potatoes and meatballs or whatever. They've started put in eye scanners. What? You know? So very strange. So I started checking out that. Then when I read the edition of for the south of Sweden, same newspaper, south of Sweden, it said that in the city in the north of Sweden, because of the potato meatball absolute massive problem, they installed eye scanners or something like that. It only cost $200,000, but we saved a lot of meatballs. Do you know, it's like, so what is real? What is not? And these agencies you know, MI5, MI6, CIA, NSA, and so on, they've got incredible budgets. But do you ever see them in the street doing something useful? No. So what do they use the money for? What are they doing? And one of the things that they put a lot of effort in is to, through the media, direct us in a direction that they prefer us to go. You need to watch out for these things.
Well, I think thanks to the internet, we can see some of this and some of these old things. I mean, like if indeed that case was Sweden, you can make a picture of it.
Yeah.
Right? You can, take a video camera, you know, cell phone photo of it, and then show it to people. And it's overwhelmingly obvious that they've been conning us forever, for decades, if not centuries.
Don't you think after 9/11 and all of these things that it should be pretty, pretty obvious that that is what's going on? I mean, planes just disappearing into the Pentagon due to the high heat. I mean, come on. You can't even make this thing up. It's so badly done. It's just that we are being pumped with it again and again and again. So Well, the bigger the lie, the easier it is for the population to believe it. That was quoted by Goebbels, the propaganda minister of Hitler, you know. So this is the thing.
It's true, though. I know. And that's why they're getting more ridiculous, like 9/11. Planes vanish into the ground in Pennsylvania, right?
That is amazing as well, don't you think? Quite amazingly.
I'm impressed that, you know, aluminum is now stronger, you know, than massive steel. You know, the list goes on and on.
They're just conning us.
It's amazing.
No, it's very impressive.
Let's wrap it up soon and let's just get back to any kind of final thoughts on this edition of the Bilderberg that you're seeing or that you think might be coming or anything you want to add.
I just want to add that I am super, super optimistic about the future. I think it's a wonderful place to be. I've done this for 30 years at a very high cost, personally, losing friends and having to change country. I've walked a very lonely road over and dangerous road. It's been absolutely awful. And now, suddenly I'm being welcomed everywhere. I'm not talking about me as a person, but suddenly this type of information is being welcomed everywhere. There's such an interest. It's like people, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. Because the awakening is going on, and it's going on in such a beautiful way, I tell you. Here in Denmark, there's been a lot of police hugging, you know, and people have put tapes on their vest where it says the Danish word for love, and one police officer walked around with a little badge where it says not so nice word, meaning get rid of the New World Order. Do you know, the people have just been, it's just happening, you know. And I gave a speech just outside the Marriott Hotel with one of these bullhorns, which I do not like. And the only thing I focused was how to transcend this whole thing. Instead of painting it all black and evil and destructive and awful and there's no hope for the future, I totally focused on how to transcend it. How can we, with a higher frequency of love, get above this, neutralize these people, do not buy into them, expose what is going on, just like turning the light on into a dark room. They have been getting away, hiding in the dark cellars, you know. That's the only way they've been able to do these things. And now the light is on big time. So I was talking like that, just like, you know, trying to inspire people. It ended with a massive group hug, you know. Right in front of this, if you look energy-wise, you had this building with all this dark, dark, dark death and destruction plan. And then right in front of the building, suddenly people are hugging, the police are laughing, everybody is enjoying themselves, totally defusing it, you know. And if there had been a planned false flag, that was defused as well. Absolute wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, well, I can just say I think super challenging times. Not saying this is easy, not saying this is not dangerous. I'm saying wonderful times. This is a time to just boom, you know, like get blossom the whole thing.
Well, you know, I kind of believe that there's a lot going on. There's the whole international thing, too. They, the New World Order people have been trying to build a global dictatorship.
Yep.
And you can only press people so far, you know, in the whole world. It's a huge place, different cultures, histories, everything, right? And they don't like it. Nope. Even the elite in those countries don't like it, right? Yeah. And, you know, it just feels like the New World Order, they're in English, or at least in America, we say that something's an inch, you know, something's a mile wide and an inch thick, right? So... Yeah. It looks like it's really big and overwhelming and, you know, strong and oppressive and all that. But, you know, it has all kinds of weak points.
Totally.
And, you know, information obviously being one of them. But then even not even just that. I mean, they're trying to stir up wars now, right? Build NATO and all that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know that they can, because I think there's so many people who are onto their game now.
There you go.
You know, in other words, what I'm trying to say is it's not just you and me out in front of a place. It's also even people in governments.
I know.
Right? It's the head of the police saying, hey, this is not acceptable.
Do you know, I've been contacted by Bilderbergers inside. A Dutch Bilderberg contacted me a while ago, just saying, you're right on track. Don't give up, you know. And by the way, the whole European Union is a hoax. I know. Thank you for informing me. But that was one of the, if, I mean, I just got it by email. I don't know if this was a fake email or if it actually came from him, but it was the name. Everything made sense. I'm just saying they know that this ship is going down, I believe. You know, I think it was 2008 or something like that, the War Tribune in Kuala Lumpur, where there was a people's court of international judges. I mean, we're talking the real thing that tried and sentenced George Bush Jr., Dick Cheney, Tony Blair, and other people for crimes against peace, crimes against humanity. The whole court case was gone through. There were all the testimonies. Sentence was done. The sentence was given to the War Tribune in Hague. So it's valid to this very day. And on the 31st of March, the English Queen Elizabeth Windsor II and the former Pope were subpoenaed to court in Brussels by a similar court, international judges, the whole thing. And the accusation was child genocide. I mean, we are talking heavy, heavy, heavy accusations against people that have believed that they're untouchables. It's cracking down. And this is why we will see I really hope I'm correct about this, but we will see more and more whistleblowers come forward. As soon as the people see that the ship is going down, they will start jumping off. And the sooner the better, you know, the more welcome they will be. But I can totally understand if they are freaked out, these members, because I think that when they go to bed at night, they know that, my God, if it gets out what we've been up to for such a long time, they will just lynch us and chop us up and serve us as a pizza, you know. But that is not the way to go. If you look at revolutions over the hundreds of years, every single time, at least what I've been able to find out, is that the people that committed went through the revolution and chopped the head of the old guys, they turned even worse than the ones before. And you listen to the word revolution, it repeats itself. Not the way to go. Evolution is the way to go. Transcend the whole thing. You know, don't fight these people with violence. That's their ball game. If you try, they will squash you multifold. You know, they've got all of these toys that can just bomb the crap out of all of us. Not the way to go. We have to come from a totally different direction. And that is where I think that the energy of love, I'm not talking new age, or I fancy you, baby, if you're nice to me, that type of love. I'm talking about the highest frequency that has this incredible, I don't know how it works. I just know, I've seen it many, many times in war zones and other difficult areas, that if you, I have to rewind a little bit. They try to control us by fear. That is what they're pushing on us all the time. Be fearful, be depressed, be anxious, be all of these down, down, down. And the lowest of the low of energies is what is labeled fear or pure terror. The highest of frequencies in the universe is what is we've labeled love. That it's even higher than the frequency of thoughts and so on. And that frequency has an incredible power to it. I have absolutely no idea how it works. I've just seen it work a lot of times. And if in a laboratory, if you have two frequencies, one very high, one very low, and you let them meet, it's not that they start struggling and do wrestling in the middle and then it would come out like in a middle frequency like that. Nope. The lower one just, boom, gets annulled. It just disappears. And it's the higher frequency that is still there. Just like when you go into a room, it's totally dark, you turn on a light. It's not like the shadow saying, I'm not leaving, I'm not leaving, I'm going to fight you. It just disappears. The light has this amazing power, and it's the same with this frequency. So I would say, this is what I totally stand for, I try to live by example as well, that stay out of fear mode. Whatever they try to push down your throat, do not buy into it. Even if I try, for instance, if a police officer is shouting at me or intimidating me or should somebody put a gun to my head, I hope I will have the tranquility inside to keep focusing on, I have this word that works for me, not that I'm religious, but the word divine works for me. You know, so when I see somebody shouting at me, I just say, I repeat to myself, divine, 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 he's somebody's son, he's somebody's brother, he's my brother, he's, you know, instead of buying into the fear. And what happens is, once again, I have no idea how it happens, but there's something miraculous happening when you do not buy into the fear mode. And suddenly, 5 minutes later, you sit on a park bench, he's talking about his wife, she doesn't understand him, or he said, please, maybe we can go and have a beer one day. You know, just minutes before, he tried to hurt you, you know. And the same, somebody puts a gun to your head, as long as he's not pulled the trigger, you're fine. It's just a piece of metal. Once you pull it, you're in a bit of a, you know, if
well,
he's a
you
good
know,
shot.
When you're talking about that frequency, what comes to mind is how, at least most TV I see, American TV anyway, is amazingly designed to kind of create those negative frequencies.
I mean, it makes almost sense that somebody was doing it on purpose, doesn't it?
I think they are.
It's totally designed to squash us down, down, down.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Ole, why don't we wrap it up now for this report from the Bilderberg? How long does it go? Has it got one more day?
I think today is the last day.
Uh-huh. And hopefully nothing major will happen with all of their pentagrams.
No, it's totally diffused. It won't work for them anymore. Let's make one of these be happy signs instead with the same train people. That would be a good one.
Paint over the pentagram or something.
Yeah, smiling.
That would be very
don't
cute.
Worry, be happy. One of these something instead.
Like, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll call it a wrap. So thanks so much, Ule. And your website again?
My website is lightonconspiracies.com. And I would very much like to finish with a prayer, if that's okay. I'm not a religious person,
sure.
But I have this prayer that I totally believe in. It goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light.
Very nice. Very nice. And it's awfully hard for them to fight that.
It is. It's wonderful.
Okay.
Can I just say, if anyone, I mean, I spent 30 years on doing this. I'm one single guy. I have absolutely no funding from anywhere. It's not easy. So if anyone would like to somehow support or help and not knowing how to make a change in the world, please sign up for my newsletter, buy my book, anything, it just really helps me be able to focus. So it's so, so appreciated.
Okay. Thanks much, Julie. We appreciate it, and I hope some listeners can contribute. Okay. Take care. Till next time. It's a wrap.
Till next time. Bye-bye.